Good afternoon, everyone. You're listening to the PMC Podcast. I'm Associate Pastor Josh Schwartzentruper, recording here from Providence Mennonite Church in Montgomery, Indiana. Our goal here today is to promote spiritual growth and encouragement in your relationship with God through the Word, prayer, and testimonies of those in the faith. We pray that this podcast blesses you today as you listen. Thank you, and God bless. All right, welcome to episode number 2 of the PMC Podcast. I'm Josh Schwartzentruper, and today I will be joined by one of my good friends and member here at Providence Mennonite Church, and Nate Raber. Nate, how are you doing today?
Doing good.
Good. Today we're going to be talking about sharing God at work. And this is an area that all of us are affected by, and it's a ministry that God has called us all to. So today we'll be looking at 5 easy steps on how this can be implemented into your field of work. And also, Nate is going to kind of tell us how these 5 steps have really worked for him in his field of teaching. So I'm praying and hoping that today that this podcast helps you in your walk with the Lord, and it encourages you in the workplace and how you can be spreading the gospel wherever God has placed you. But before we jump into that, I want to start off by praying so that God may be glorified and God may have this podcast today. So let's just bow our heads and pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I just come to you right now. Lord, I thank you so much for this day that you blessed us with, Father. Lord, I thank you so much, Father, for this opportunity that we have to just gather here during this time, Lord, and just talk about the ministry that you've called us all to, and that be in the workplace, Lord. Lord, I pray today that you be with myself and Nate, Father God, as we tackle this subject, and Lord, as we look to see what your scriptures say about this, Father, and how we can go about doing your work on the everyday field of work that you've placed us in, Lord. Lord, I pray, Lord, that you just open the hearts and ears of those listening, and Lord, that you would just do a mighty work in their lives. Lord, we just thank you and we love you. In your name we pray. Amen. Well, if you know anything about Nate and I, we're, you know, kind of fly by the seat of our pants guys. So we've got some stuff here that we're going to try to bring out today. We hope it all fits together and works well. But a verse that Nate had brought to me right away whenever we were talking about this subject was 1 Corinthians 7:17. And it says this, it says, "Only let each person lead the life that the Lord has assigned to him and to which God has called him." So this is a very good opening verse for us because it talks about each one of our ministries that God has called us to. And as we look at each and every one of our ministries, it does look different. But in the same sense, all of our ministries or all of our goals as Christians is basically the same thing. And that is to spread the gospel. And all of us have that time where we have that opportunity to spread the gospel. But all of us have the same opportunity at work. All of us work or have some capacity of work that we go to every day, and we meet individuals every day that aren't necessarily believers. So I think it's important for us to make sure that we are always looking for those opportunities. And like this verse says, looking to take advantage of the way that the Lord has assigned that. Nate, that's kind of where we're going to start with you, buddy. And I know that you have been teaching now for how many years?
Yeah, this will be my third year.
Third year teaching. So, How when you jumped into teaching, first off, how did you know that that's what God was calling you to? And, you know, how, just some simple ways, maybe how you integrate your Christian lifestyle into your field of work.
Well, first, your first question is, how did I know teaching was for me? And I think it was when I was a senior in high school, I did a little cadet teaching with the fifth grade classroom. And just going every day, seeing those kids' face. I didn't do any teaching, you know, at that time, just kind of graded papers and watched kids. But when I got into college and started doing some practicums and some student teachings, I really got a love for teaching. And so to answer your question, how do I know I'm supposed to be a teacher? It's because I wake up every day wanting to go to work. I'm a big Dave Ramsey guy. And Dave Ramsey talks about finding your vocation, finding your job where you want to get up and go to work today. And until there's a morning where I get up and don't want to go to work, then that's probably when I'll quit teaching. But until that happens, I love going to work every day. I love interacting with kids. And to answer your second question, how do I bring my Christian faith into teaching, you know, the statutes and the laws have kind of restricted us. Mm-hmm. how much faith we can share, and you know, when they took prayer and Bible out of schools in 1963, that kind of limited teachers, and we can't advance one religion over another, or prefer one religion over the other. So, kind of how I go about it without advancing one religion or promoting one religion, is just being honest with kids. It's you know, when they ask me, what did I do this weekend? On Friday night I did this, Saturday night I did this, Sunday I went to church. Or telling kids, I'm in charge of VBS here at church. Or telling kids, I got a Bible study at 6 a.m. on Saturday morning, and they can't believe I'd get up at 6 a.m. on Saturday morning and go to Bible study. But it's just living these, you know, living my principles out in the classroom, being honest with kids about my faith. One cool story, probably about halfway through my first year of teaching, some kids asked me, you know, what music do I listen to? And I wasn't real familiar with the kids yet, wasn't too comfortable with kids, didn't really know how I was going to be, how I would be as a teacher. And so I just said, well, I listen to some classic rock, paused a little bit, and I said, yeah, I listen to a lot of Christian music too. And one girl pipes up and wanted to know if I listened to, oh, I don't know, We Are Messengers or whatever, whatever group. And it was a really cool way to build a relationship with that kid. And so just being honest with students. Now, whether you're in a school or wherever you're at, and your coworker asks you what you did this weekend, just tell them you went to church. Tell them you did this for your church. Tell them you volunteered. Mm-hmm. And that's a really, really easy way to get the ball rolling without being in your face, hey, do you know Jesus? And building that relationship first can lead to that more deeper conversation.
Absolutely. And that's just a great way to segue into kind of the top or some five ways that some practical steps that we can take in order to do that. It looks like Nate's already doing that. And as we kind of go through these five ways, Nate and I both will kind of show some examples of what we have. But the first one that they have here, this is on the Gospel Coalition website. So if you want that, go on the Gospel Coalition website and search for the title, How to Share Your Faith at Work. A very good article there of doing that. But the first one that it has on there, it says, just do good work as a Christian. And we kind of talked about that a little bit. And it says, when you get a chance to speak the gospel into the lives of one of your coworkers, make sure you've always been backing it up by a good work yourself. And that brings us to another scripture that we've seen many different times in Colossians 3, verse 23. And it says this, it says, whatever you do, work heartily as for the Lord and not for men. So, you know, Nate, I think that's a big thing there is, you know, in order to build a reputation to be a worker that, you know, works with purpose and creativity and kindness and encouragement, it doesn't you know, necessarily go in and slack every day. I think that says a lot about your character. And whenever we can have that attitude of wanting to go in and work every single day with the most energy, the most effort that we have, I think really speaks a lot to the people that see that around each day. If there was somebody that really didn't care to work very hard, then that wouldn't have a very good reputation around the office. So what are your thoughts on that?
I got two really good, cool stories about that.
Awesome.
The first story, I was probably 3 weeks into teaching at WRV. And, you know, I wasn't real familiar with the kids, wasn't sure how I was going to be a teacher. The dirty little secret about education is they don't teach you anything until you actually have your own classroom, and you kind of, your first year is just making a bunch of mistakes.
Mm-hmm.
So that first year, I was making a bunch of mistakes. And so we're about 3 weeks in, and a kid comes and says, Mr. Aber, I know you, and there's another English teacher named Becky Ziegler. And he goes, Mr. Aber, I know you and Ms. Ziegler are Christians. And I said, at that point, I hadn't really opened up. They knew I went to Christian college,
mm-hmm.
and that was about it. And I said, well, how do you know that? And he said, because you two are the only ones that really care. And that blew me away because I went to talk to her. She went to Moody Bible College before she got into teaching.
Mm-hmm.
And we talked about how 3 weeks in, people can see that we are different people. Now, we're just two normal teachers. She was a first-year teacher. She was probably 40, first-year teacher. I was 22, first-year teacher. We were just two new people making mistakes. And to be kind of singled out as you know, these people are set apart for a reason.
Absolutely.
And so that was a really, really, really cool thing that I was able to do.
Yeah, I mean, it's people see that. And that's the thing that I think, if you don't get anything out of this today, and you're kind of scared to talk maybe and not be a vocal person, or you don't feel like you know enough to lead somebody to Christ, your actions speak a lot about your character and about what you stand for. And so, you know, you see somebody that's lazy at work or complains a lot or, you know, doesn't necessarily do the best work that they can do, I think it really shows their heart. And so, you know, just like that verse says in Colossians, that we are to work not as for man, but to work as we are working for the Lord. So I think that's really important.
My other story about that is in my econ class, I did a job fair, and we went through, again, Dave Ramsey, big Dave mm-hmm. Ramsey guy. And Ramsey talked about your vocation, stuff like that. And he also had, he talked about people, you know, people love their job by the way they act.
Yeah.
And so I told kids to close your eyes, and you can probably do this, remember your teachers. Think of a teacher that you know didn't like to teach. Think of a teacher that you knew didn't want to come to school every day. Okay. And so I had kids at, you know, how do you know that the teacher didn't want to come to school today? And they'd say, well, they were grumpy, or they showed up late, or they kind of just showed a video or gave us a worksheet and didn't really teach. I said, okay. Now think of a teacher that you know loves to come to school every day. How do you know that teacher loves to come to school today and wants to be there? And they said, well, they're excited, and they show an interest in students, and we know that they care about us and stuff like that. And I said, well, I just picture a student, picture a teacher. I don't want names or anything like that. And a couple kids yelled out my name, and that just really made me feel valued and validated me that, yeah, I do love coming to school today, and this is showing to students that I love, you know, what my job is. And so, in the discipleship training program that Alex Knepp leads here at church, we go through a book called God at Work. And it talks about your vocation.
Who's the author of that book, by the way, in case people...
Gene Veith.
Okay.
God at Work.
Yep.
And he talks about your vocation, and your vocation is where you're at. And so your vocation might be flipping burgers at McDonald's. Mm-hmm. But the reason that we do a vocation is to serve other people. Mm-hmm. So whatever your job is, whether it's dog catcher, or whether it's working in the sewer, or whether it's the CEO of some huge company. Mm-hmm. Your job is to serve others. So how you serve others is showing God's love. And so for a teacher like me, serving my kids and showing the enthusiasm that I have and putting everything I have into those kids and showing that I care, that's how I serve them.
Yeah.
As a construction worker, you can serve other people by building the best dang house that you possibly can. And so even though you might not feel like you're impacting people, you have a huge impact by showing people your skill set that God has given you and being able to serve others.
Absolutely. Absolutely. That's good. Very good points there, Nate. And I'm sure Alex would like the plug for his book, book there on DTP and God at Work. But the next one that they had on there, number two, is learn to put God on the table. And in this particular section in there, they talk about, you know, being open about your Christianity and letting people know. And it says in here, I love it, it says, let people know in a natural, easygoing, confident way that you are a Christian. And he said, you know, the question here they ask is, why do so many people want to keep that a secret? And I know that in the world today, Christianity is really being attacked. And in some places of work, you know, coming out and saying that you're a Christian, that could bring a lot of hardship. That could bring a lot of you know, teasing, making fun of, you know, you could be cast out for it. I mean, I'm sure that happens at different positions. But the big thing is here, it says, you know, that like the example that you said, when somebody asks you what you're doing this weekend, you know, saying, hey, I've got a Bible study on Saturday, or I'm going to church on Sunday, and really bringing in the conversation and letting people know right then and there that you are a Christian. And it says in here, I think this is so big, it says, people are interested in spiritual things that you think. They're interested in that. And I know talking to a buddy of mine, Chris Howell from up north, he was talking about when they were going out and actually asking people to pray for them on the streets, that he said, I could probably count on one hand. I mean, they approached several people. He said, I probably can count on one hand how many people said, no, we don't want prayer. It's like everybody wants that. And when they can find somebody that has that, I think they have questions and they have interest in it. So I think opening yourself up and letting people know by actually speaking that you are a Christian, I think is a big key component in there. So what do you think about that?
Yeah, you don't have to go out and just evangelize in your cubicle.
Yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. You can, like I said, you can tell people you went to church. You can tell people you did this and this. Now, to the point on persecution, yes, there in some job settings, there might be quote-unquote persecution. But I think, and I know we're called to suffer all for Christ, mm-hmm. right?
Absolutely.
For me to live as Christ and to die as gain. Mm-hmm. So, okay, you might get made fun of. Or somebody might talk bad about. Who cares?
Who cares? Mm-hmm.
What, I mean, who really cares, right? Mm-hmm. And that's kind of how I approach my job is, you know, if somebody is going to go bring a lawsuit against me, mm-hmm. then I don't need to be working here.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
The Lord's going to take care of me. And I know that's probably a cavalier type of statement, but that's really how I feel.
Absolutely.
If I can't be open about my faith and someone's going to, you know, in a school setting, bring a lawsuit against me or the administration's going to get on me, then maybe I'll go somewhere else or I'll go find another job that I can serve other people.
Yeah.
And so being able just to open and share with students has been a really important thing. At the end of every year, the seniors I'll write a letter to their favorite teacher. And I got a letter from a student that said, even though you weren't open and you didn't preach to us, I still knew you were a Christian. Mm. And you showed your faith through your teaching and through what you did. And like, I've never told kids, hey, you have to believe in Jesus. Mm-hmm. You have to do this. Mm-hmm. I just tell kids, I go to church, I do Bible school, I teach Sunday school, I do this, this, and this. Mm-hmm. And they can see my faith through that. And that's one of my favorite letters that I've gotten is they know, they see my faith through my teaching, through my enthusiasm, and through my willingness to serve others.
Yeah. It's not throwing the Bible at them. I mean, it's not like you have to know scriptures like mm-hmm. like crazy. All mm-hmm. it is just demonstrating the love that God has shown you to other people. And that's what we talked about in our last podcast is, in response to the gospel, we love other people. And when we love people the way that God's loved us, people see it and they understand it. So very good there. The third one is build relationships beyond the office. I really love this. You know, in the Walk to Emmaus community that I've worked in several years now, one of the big things that they always tell you there is there's a three-step process of leading someone to Christ, and that is to make a friend, be a friend, and lead a friend to Christ. And this is where I kind of have an example at a place that I work. Well, no, it's obvious, Bar Eve, but there was an individual, and I don't think he cares for me to share his name on here, but I'll share it anyways. It's Brock Higgins. And, you know, Brock came in, man, it's been probably 4 years ago, 3 or 4 years ago. And me and Eric Yoder kind of really took Brock under our wings a little bit. We're just kind of, you know, welcoming him in. He kind of fit well with us. We both love sports and different things like that. So we started, and Doug Cloffin's another guy too. We just started, you know, talking to Brock and getting to know him a little bit more, and started integrating sports into our conversations. And then we were going out to lunch every day. And now I consider Brock one of my better friends today. And but the cool thing was is, in these conversations when we're having with Brock at lunch or wherever, we start to incorporate, you know, some theological debates or some Christian.
Surely not over Calvinism.
No, surely not over that. But it was several different things that involved the church and different things like that. And the more we got to talking, the more Brock started asking questions, and he started to dig deeper, and he started to search out in the Bible, and he started to listen to different speakers. And then we started having Bible studies on Friday mornings and started to pour into there. And I'll never forget this, and I don't know if I've ever told him how much this means to me. So if Brock does listen to this, and he can thank, you know, not thank me, but he can, you know, hit me or whatever if you don't want to say it. But I think it was 2 years ago, we did like a opening, or maybe it was even last year. I think it was last year, maybe. We did this opening activity the very first day of school. And we're elementary teachers, so, you know, we do some of that little
crazy
fun stuff or whatever. But we had plates that we put on our backs. And you've probably done this before. People go around and they write something to you. So you don't know who's writing it, but they write something nice about you to try to encourage you. Yeah. And you keep that plate and you can go around, you can see it later. But I'll never forget what Brock wrote. And he said, "Thank you for leading me to Christ." And when I read that, I literally almost broke into tears. I'm about to cry now just thinking about it. But in thinking back on that, I don't ever remember having that moment where I went to Brock and said, "Hey, you need Jesus. Here's the Romans Road. Yeah. Here's a track.
Yeah.
Look at this." No, but what I did was, and Eric Yoder and Doug Klobenstein, the same. I mean, they're just as responsible too. But what we did was we brought Brock in. We showed him love. We made him our friends. We built a relationship there, and then through that relationship, we allowed Christ to just pour out of us. And I think that's the big thing. It's like you don't have to, like we say, you don't have to just go to them and show them the Romans Road or read them John 3:16 or, you know, shove the Bible down their throat. But what we're called to do is just be friends to these people. And the more you become friends with them, the more they open up, the more sincere that they think you did. And I love the way that the Gospel Coalition puts this. It lets them see that you're just not they're just not another cog in your professional machine to bring people to Christ. You know, it shows that you genuinely care. And I think that's the biggest thing in working relationships is build relationships outside the office. Hang out with people, talk with people, you know, go out for coffee, go out for lunch, and just pour into their lives. I think that's huge.
Yeah, I didn't have an experience like that just solely because I was 45 minutes away from mm-hmm. where I worked, and a lot of people that I work with were driving half hour, 45 yeah. minutes into work. Building relationships through Christianity or through Christ was one thing that I found. One of my really good friends is an English teacher at WRV, and he came from Bloomington Lighthouse, a Christian school. Mm-hmm. He knew I was a Christian, and through that kind of tie, we were able to build a really, really strong relationship, that one that I'll treasure for a very long time. And like you said, it's not overt, you know, corner of the street, sidewalk preaching with mm-hmm. a picket sign. Mm-hmm. It's making a friend with somebody and then having a little patience over 2 years.
Yeah.
Letting the Lord work through you. And like Chris Raber said last Sunday, praying for those times where you have an opportunity to evangelize,
yeah,
and being able to be equipped.
Yep.
To lead in that opportunity. And so be in prayer that, hey, you know, if you've got a coworker that's been on your mind or on your heart, pray that you have an opportunity to take him out for lunch, buy him coffee,
mm-hmm.
you know, go to a movie with him or whatever outside thing you do, because we all have those coworkers we're big friends with inside the school building or inside the office or in the work truck, but we see him, you know, Dollar General, and give them a quick wave and walk
yeah.
away,
mm-hmm.
right? And so building those relationships, like you said, shows that they're not just kind of, you know, a cog or this little notch in our belt.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Bring somebody to Christianity. Relationships are what brings
Absolutely.
People to Christ.
Absolutely. Number four on the list is use the witness of the church. And I really love this because it really shows that, you know, we can use the power of the church that we have. You know, if you're a Christian, you know, you should be actively involved in a church. And John 13:34-35, they use that verse in this section. And it says, "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another, just as I have loved you, you also are to love one another. By this, all people will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." So use the witness of the church, Nate, I think is huge, because when you can bring the church in or bring other Christians around an individual that you're trying to bring to Christ, is big, because just like here it says in John, they will notice us by our love. They will recognize us by our love. So when you surround people by loving people, then they're going to know that they are a disciple of Christ. And so at work, invite that person to church. Invite them to a Bible study that you have. You know, let, you know, at Providence, we have an opportunity where you can tell them to, hey, log on our website, check out our sermons, you know, check out our podcast, check out all these different things that you can use the church as kind of a tool to kind of surround them with love and just have even more power to bring them in.
But I think what we're talking about right now, using the church, what we talked about just a second ago, has to be done first.
Absolutely.
Right?
Absolutely. Because that's why it's step three and this is four.
If I just show up and say, hey, do you want to come to church?
Yeah.
You know, if I show up to Bar Eve next fall and meet a coworker and never talk to him, say, hey, come to Providence.
Yeah.
The likelihood that they show up to Providence is less than zero.
Not great.
Right?
Yeah, it's not great.
But if it's a two-year process where you're going out to eat and you're having these discussions, and then you say, hey, Brock, you want to come to Providence?
Yeah.
If he doesn't go to church. The likelihood of him showing up is extremely high.
Absolutely.
Right?
Absolutely.
So it's building those relationships and then using the church.
Mm-hmm.
Because inviting somebody to church is not, it should be an easy thing, but there's a lot of stuff that goes, and you know, I might have to move my seat. There's not enough room for one more.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so building those relationships, becoming friends and becoming comfortable with that person, and then using the resources that we have here at church.
Absolutely.
Is a very good idea.
Absolutely. The last one that we have is have a mission field mindset about your work. And this goes right back to the scripture that you brought up earlier in 1 Corinthians 7:17. Only let each person lead the life that the Lord has assigned to him and to which God has called him. Okay, so when you read that, you see right away that God has called us all to our ministry, whatever ministry that may be. And we have to understand that a ministry is not just what I have or what Kevin has or what Eric has. You know, a ministry, everybody has a ministry, whether that is the ministry at your household, it's the ministry at work, it's the ministry wherever God has called you to be, a Sunday school teacher, wherever. We all have a ministry that God has called us to. And the question, I think, and this kind of sums up the entire thing, and we'll close with this step five, because I think what sums this whole thing up is, do we look at work with a mission field mindset? When we think mission field, we think Peru, we think China, we think Iran, Iraq, we think Africa, we think outside of the United States is a mission field. When God has called us to a mission field right here in our backyard at work, I guarantee if I asked everybody right now to think of one person that doesn't know Christ, that you could help lead to Christ. And I say help because we can't lead them. You know, we can lead them to water. We can't make them drink.
Yep.
You know, that's God's job.
Yep.
But do we look at those people that we can think of as a way of doing mission work?
Well, I think we can even bring it closer to home, right? When my wife gives birth to our son in October, her vocation then is going to be a mother.
Absolutely.
Right? And
absolutely.
So her vocation to bring someone to Christ is going to be our son.
Absolutely.
And so if you're a father with a teenager, your vocation is to show that teenager the love of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Your vocation is to bring that child to Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And so we have a ton of different vocations,
mm-hmm.
right? I'm a teacher. I'm the VBS sponsor.
Ooh.
Ooh, yeah.
I'm a basketball coach.
I'm a member of Providence.
Mm-hmm.
I'm this, I'm that. So I have multitude of vocations where my vocation as a basketball coach, I'm going to reach a different set of kids than my vocation as VBS sponsor or a Sunday school teacher.
Mm-hmm.
And so using each vocation, and if it's helpful, maybe jot down those things that you're a vocation.
Absolutely.
I'm a father, I'm a son, I'm a this job, I do this volunteer,
yep.
I volunteer here. And then writing out a few things, hey, these are some people in this vocation that I can minister to.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, if you're a father, list your kids' names out. If you are a volunteer coach, list your kids on your team out. If you are a financial advisor, list some of your clients that you know, or an accountant, list some of those clients that you know need to come to Christ, and list those out, and then pray for those people.
Yeah, absolutely.
And that's a really good way, you know, like you said, I'm not a pastor, I'm not, you know, and just because I'm not a pastor doesn't mean I get let off the hook.
Yeah.
And I just get to show up on Sunday and take a sermon in and go back to Crane or wherever I work,
yeah.
right? So write a list, pray for those people, and pray for opportunities that you can go, you know, lead them to Christ. Mm-hmm. And so just because, you know, we're not pastors or we're not involved in deep spiritual things, mm-hmm. you know, I have a vocation as a teacher to lead those kids. You have a vocation as a construction worker or a truck driver, right? If mm-hmm. you're a truck driver and you know every Tuesday I stop here and this dude's kind of a jerk, pray for him.
Yeah.
And, mm-hmm. and try to, you know, pray for an opportunity to lead him to Christ. Now, that might be scary, and you might have to actually, you know, do some prep work by reading the Bible or reading some methods on how to bring people to Christ. But isn't that what we're called to do?
Absolutely.
We're called to go and make disciples of all nations.
Absolutely.
And we're called to, you know, we're called to make disciples of everyone that we meet, mm-hmm. whether that's as a father or a son or a truck driver mm-hmm. or a McDonald's burger flipper, mm-hmm. right? We are called to go out and be the hands and feet of Christ.
And looking at it in the sense of a mission field, you know, when you go on a mission trip, you know, you kind of just, if it's a weak mission trip, you kind of just go and you lay the foundation and then you hope that discipling comes. So looking at work as a mission field is not just going to be a one-day thing or a one-week thing.
No,
it's going to be a process.
And those week-long mission trips, I don't think those are near as rewarding as what you're talking about with that two-year process, Brock Higgins, right? I can go to Mexico or I can go to the DR and pour concrete for a house for 4 days in the hot sun. But I don't know what that building's going to be used for.
Exactly.
I don't know those people in that building. I
the people on the ground right there are going to be doing most of the dirty work.
And so the dirty work by leading people.
Exactly.
And so the most fulfilling things that we can do is having those several-year span relationship building things. Mm-hmm. So if you have never gone to a mission trip or you're not, you know, on the streets of Washington praying for people every day, that's okay. Mm-hmm. You can go reach other people. If you're not comfortable doing that, that is just fine.
Yeah.
You can reach people on, you know, Monday morning when you show up to work.
Yeah.
You can pray. You've been praying for that dude for 6 months, mm-hmm. and he comes and asks you about Jesus.
Yeah.
Or he wants to know where you go to church. And you say, hey, come to Providence.
Yeah. And then there's your opening.
Yep.
So excellent, excellent discussion today. We definitely went longer than what I went last time, but great stuff. I think there's a lot of practical stuff in here. This podcast will be posted on our app, so you can go back and listen to this anytime you want. And, you know, I think our prayer here today is that, and our hope here today is that you can take these steps and take these personal experiences that Nate and I have had in our work and apply it to your own work. And, you know, Nate, if one person leads this person to Christ and that person leads this person to Christ, you know, that ripple effect that this can have is so awesome and just so amazing. So I think that we're just going to close in prayer and then we'll close this podcast up. So let's bow our heads and pray. Dear Heavenly Father, God, we thank you so much, Father God, for these amazing truths that you give us in your scriptures, and Lord, the amazing truths that you give us in our own lives. Lord, the testimonies of other people, Father God, can be used so tremendously, and it can encourage so many people, Father, because it's not what I did or what Nate did, but Lord, it was you working through us, Father God, that allows these opportunities to come. And Lord, I just pray for those that are listening to this podcast and the people here at Providence, Father God, that are working day in and day out, Lord, that they can look at their work as a mission field. Lord, that they can start to build relationships with others. They can speak your name boldly, Father God. They don't have to be afraid to pronounce that they're a Christian, Lord. That they can throw out different things on the table, Father God, that are from you, Lord. They can share different things. They can build relationships. They can use the witness of the church. There are all these steps, Father God, that you've given us, Father. I pray, Lord, that you, through the power that you give us in your Holy Spirit, God, that you can allow those to work in our lives. God, I just thank you for Nate and the mission field that you've called him into and teaching, Father God. And I pray this next year, Lord, that he gets the opportunity to pour these into his life and get to see new things happen as he takes his job at Bar Eve. And he can be able to just pour into kids' lives, teachers' lives, administrators' lives, parents' lives, whatever it may be, Father God. Lord, I just ask that you just bless the rest of our day. And we just thank you and we love you. In every name we pray. Amen. Nate, thanks for joining us, buddy.
Thank you.